I think Wagner has been a useful tool for Moscow because it can offer Wagner as a solution to security challenges that African countries are facing, especially among isolated leaders who are facing a growing security challenge. Bringing in mercenaries seems like a reasonable thing to do, but I think that's where there's a misunderstanding. Wagner is not really there to solve the security challenges that these countries face. Rather, their primary motivations are to help prop up individual leader or regime, and secondly, to help expand Russia's influence. So, nowhere that Wagner has been deployed, whether in Africa or elsewhere, has it brought stability. So instead, its primary aims are more political in nature.
So where in Africa did Russia manage to use the Wagner group to reap political and economic gains?
Well, there's some 8 to 12 countries where Wagner has been involved in different ways. The most prominent of these are in Libya and Central African Republic, Mozambique, Madagascar, Sudan, Guinea-Bissau, and now there's discussions of an increased Wagner presence in Mali. And I think it's important to recognize that it's usually not just the security element of Wagner that gets deployed, but this is usually accompanied by different political support, whether it be disinformation, personal protection for that leader, and there might be arms for resources types of deals. So it tends to be a bigger package of deals than simply a security arrangement.
How did Russia's attempt to influence Africa's governance derail the transition to democracy in some African countries?
I think we need to consider the way that Russia has been engaging in Africa. And it's notable in that it isn't following a classic bilateral relationship approach where it tries to invest in economic development and strengthen its diplomatic relations, provide some broader security cooperation, all on official level. What Russia has been doing and the way it's been gaining influence has often been unofficial and often undeclared means, such as the deployment of mercenaries, disinformation, election meddling. And these are all things that Russia denies doing. So they're very much happening under the radar, but they're usually wrapped up in an effort to prop up an individual leader. I call it elite capture, where they're working often with an isolated leader, typically who's not democratically elected, and in that way, making that leader beholden to Moscow, and therefore redirecting the sort of democratic processes in a country. And so, we've seen that in places that have been more democratic, such as Guinea and Central African Republic. But I think, we could also point to other transitions that have been underway, like in Libya, where, the electoral process there is very much going to be beholden to what Russia's interests are. The transition in Sudan, Russia is very active in trying to support the military government there. Clearly, Russia has been involved in Mali, from the time of Ibrahim Keita, and sort of fomenting some of the popular unrest that led to his toppling through the military coup and now Russia's support for the coup there. So there are any number of examples where Russia has been involved in derailing the democratic transition process in Africa.